So happy to have Cody and Michelle with us. And you saw Michelle helping lead worship. I said, well, if they're going to be here, Michelle can just be on the worship team. So I just sign them up for things. And so, but anyways, I'm so excited for you to hear from him. Some of you have heard him before, but will you give a warm pathway welcome to Cody, Pastor Cody Lehman. Come on, brother.
Amen. Come on. Thank you. Come on. I don't often feel short. You know, but sometimes when I'm talking to Pastor Marty, I'm like trying to like, you ever do that? Talk to him, you kind of end up on your tippy toes. You ever do that? You're like, and I'm still short. One of these days when I grow up, I want to be you. Amen. Then I'm talking to Pastor Mark. It's the same way. You just have the tallest pastors here. J-Dub's not short either. I mean, like little guy over there. Man, oh, my phone's going off. Would you guys join me real quick? I have an alarm that goes off on my phone at 9:38 every single day. I'm going to explain this here in just a second because it comes from Matthew 9:38 where Jesus says to pray for laborers. So would you guys join me in praying for laborers real quick? Father, I thank you that you said to pray because the harvest is white and it's ready. And so I just thank you right now for here in Longview and Pathway, Father, would you both help us to raise up laborers? Would you bring laborers, Lord? And then we just make ourselves available to be your laborers. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, man, I'm so excited to be here. Like Pastor Marty said, we're planting a church in Bull Verde, Texas, which if you know anything about Texas, San Antonio, well, Texas is big, by the way, right? But San Antonio, and then just north of San Antonio, there's this little town called Bull Verde, and it's just this exploding area. Everywhere kind of around the San Antonio, Austin area is just absolutely exploding. And so we just felt like God said, get there. And we got there as quick as we could. And we're actually starting September 15th, which is like just a month and a half away, y'all. We've been working on this church plant. By the time that we get there, it'll nearly be 3 years that we've just been winning souls and discipling people. And we just decided that, you know what, like we kind of parachuted into the area where you just kind of like jump in, and we just started meeting people in coffee shops and winning souls, and then that became another person and another person, and here we are ready to launch with our handful, amen? But we're excited. I'm excited to be here. If you guys don't know this, I get the opportunity. I've been having the opportunity to make a lot of friends in ministry, be around a lot of pastors and go to a lot of churches. But this one is one of the best I have ever seen. You are an amazing church. Can you give God some praise for that? I love what God is. Every time I walk in, I'm just like, what's happening? And then Pastor Marty and I, we get on the phone at least once a month or so, and I'm just like, please, please help me right now, you know? In fact, our last conversation, I implemented everything, and it has like saved my life. Amen. So thank you for being a pastor in my life, and I honor you, and I'm just grateful. You guys don't know, but we are watching you very closely. And so whatever you do, we're just like, why reinvent it? Pastor Marty said to me today, he's like, hey, are you ready to go over the checklist? And I'm like, there's a checklist? Let's do it. Amen. But I'm ready to get in the word today. Are you all ready? Come on. I am what we call a talk back preacher, okay? All right, so I know that we're in a church that can get a little rowdy. We love Jesus. Come on, Pastor was talking about, if we can cheer for the Cowboys. Let me be real honest with you. Like I have found this out is that if we can cheer for them, we should be rowdy for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think church should be quiet. I grew up in Catholic, Baptist, and Church of Christ, and I honor all of it. Amen. But I have come to really like and enjoy when we can get a little rowdy in church. Amen. Come on. I don't think Jesus is afraid of it. Is it necessary? No, but Jesus isn't timid either. You know what I'm saying? So come on, we're going to get a little rowdy today. And I just have one rule, this right here as well. If I say I love you, you say, come on, say I love you. Come on, we just barely know each other. Look at us. Come on. Hey, if you would, find in your Bibles Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And it's one thing I enjoy. I don't know if this is something we do in the house or not, but I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet one more time. I promise I'm not going to ask you to stand a whole lot, but I am going to ask you to stand this one time for the reading of God's word. Are you ready? I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. We're going to read just a couple verses here. Matthew 9, 35 through 38 just says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't that a good word right there? But when he saw the multitude, somebody say he saw. He was moved with compassion. He saw and he was moved. I want you to make that connection. He saw and he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, he turned to his disciples and he said, look, the harvest is plentiful. Come on, do you believe that? Come on, some people say we're moving to a post-Christian, and I'm like, nah, this is pre-Christian generation. Come on, I don't care if we start moving away from Jesus. Come on, we need to know that right now that we are poised to win souls at every second. Amen? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, man, the laborers are few. Therefore, what do, Jesus? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Isn't that good? Come on, that's a good word. Father, thank you right now for, thank you for the allowing us the opportunity to partner with you. And once again, we just say, Lord, send laborers into your field. Holy Spirit, have your, I pray that today we would walk out of here stirred up, Father, to see the harvest come in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, come on, high five somebody and you can be seated. My goal today is that sometimes, you know, you walk out of church and you feel good. And today, I'm going to be honest with you, my goal is that maybe instead of walking out feeling like amazing, maybe today we would walk out of here with a burden. Amen. If you're online today, those of you online, I pray that where you're at, that today, that we would end this service with a burden. I thought Jesus said that the burden is easy and the yoke is light. When it comes to the harvest, we have a significant responsibility. Yeah? Amen. We have a significant responsibility to go out and win souls. Jesus said the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Now, let me just share a statistic with you that might just set the platform for it, so why I'm going to preach like I'm going to preach for the next few minutes, okay? Is this, statistically, did you know that less than 1% of Christians will ever personally lead somebody to Jesus? I want you to think about that for a second. Less than 1% of us are taking the seriousness of the command of Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples. Less than 1% say, you know what, Jesus, you meant what you said. When you think about this, the last thing that you would say, last words are a big deal. Yeah? I love you so much. Okay, last words are a big deal. And the second to last thing Jesus said, in fact, the end of the, after he's resurrected, before he leaves, his entire focus is getting his disciples to understand the weight of the commission ahead. The seriousness of it, and it was written down so that we could understand that we are part of that. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that you and I have been given what's called the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the responsibility to bring people and God together. Jesus did it, but we've got to bring people to that realization. We have that responsibility, and then yet, I love you. I'm just going to drive this point home, and yet less than 1% of Christians will ever do it. That's wild to me, Pastor, Because there's something inside of us that knows that we must obey Christ. You see, sometimes what I have found is that sometimes we just like to get the information that Jesus has to offer instead of looking at it and say, how do I become obedient to what Jesus is saying? The goal of discipleship and becoming a follower of Jesus, listen, is this right here. It's to become obedient because, listen, the foundation of coming into salvation is the acknowledgement, very simple, that God is right. Very simple, but I need you to understand this. When you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, we're not punching a ticket to heaven. It's an acknowledgement that Jesus is right. Jesus is right. And when we come to him, we must believe that Jesus is right. And therefore, if he is right, then he is right about the direction that he gives us. Amen? And one of the things that nobody gets an excuse out of is to go and make disciples. Nobody. But Cody, you don't understand. I'm an introvert. I have social anxiety. As far as the last time I looked, there is not a verse 39 in Matthew 9 that says an exception for those who are introverts. But you don't know, my Enneagram says that I'm not good around people. I took the disc and I'm not a people person. I don't see that in here. I don't see it, but I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm not around people. I don't see it here. I love you so much. Okay? We excuse ourselves, and that right there is what James says, a sin of omission. I want you to walk out of here today with a burden. That's my goal. Because we need to have a burden for the lost. It's amazing to me how often we can just walk by and never be concerned about people who are headed to an eternal hell. Like, we go Sunday to Sunday and it's never even a concern in our mind. But that's the pastor's job. Isn't that why we pay him? Actually, the pastor's job is to equip the saints. Go read Ephesians chapter 4 for the work of the ministry. So actually the pastor's job, if you want to define it more, is to come and breathe life into you so that you'll be out there doing it. Not that we're excused from a personal ministry as well, but his entire role is to get out there and say, hey, are you doing this? Okay. So how do we do this? Today we're going to pray. three simple little prayers today. I'm pumped up, y'all, and I've been praying a lot in the Holy Ghost, and it just fires me up, okay? And I'm just excited about what God is doing. Number one, we're going to pray three simple prayers from this thing. Is the first thing I need you to notice in verse 36, it says that he saw the multitudes. He saw them. He saw them. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you really saw somebody who was lost? I mean, I really saw them. Like, I know sometimes we disagree with them, and we disagree with the way they're living, and we disagree with their ideologies, and we disagree. But when's the last time you saw them with the eyes of Jesus? Because the first thing that we're going to need to do, and listen, we're going to need to pray a prayer. We're going to pray three simple prayers today, and the first one is this, is God, give me eyes to see. Because the first thing that has to happen is we have to begin to notice the lost. And we have to notice sin. Listen, sometimes Christians, we get so offended by sinners. And I'm like, what are they going to do? Sinners. They sin. I don't know if you knew that. You were, the Bible says, and such were some of you. Amen. And so was I. Right? Like, I came to Jesus with a lot of sin in my life. Like, Jesus caught me at 17 years old, and I was a sinner, y'all, right? And sometimes we get so caught off guard by the sin that we can't actually reach them in their sin, okay? Listen, we have to, that's why Jesus says that we have to see them. I remember there was this
there was this time that I took my daughter to a coffee or to something, not a coffee, like a coffee shop. It was in San Antonio, this place called Caffeinated. And I took her there not because my 8-year-old likes coffee, okay, my 8-year-old girl. At this point, she was probably like 4 or 5. Not because she liked coffee, but because the whole place was pink. Like the whole place was pink and purple. And so I took her there, and you know what happens? I think I have a picture. I bought her an $8 strawberry drink. You know what I'm talking about? Like $8, y'all. You ever spend like $8? I spent $8 on this strawberry drink. Right? For her to give me that face, and it's like one of those things like, no, you bought it, you're drinking it. We will sit here. I'm a church planter. If I spent $8 on anything, and I remember, but while we were sitting there playing that game, we were sitting there, we played the game. Did you guys ever play the game I Spy with My Little Eye? You ever play that game? I spy with my little eye something that is green, right? And then you're looking around like, what is green? We're in this place. Come on, throw that picture back up. Come on, throw that picture back up because I need to point something out to you. Okay? The whole place, listen, this is just a little bit. My daughter's wearing pink. She's got a pink thing. And you can't really see, but the whole building is purple and pink. The whole thing. And so we say, she says, Dad, let's play this game. I said, okay. And she said, I spy with my little eye something that is, guess what? Pink. And I said, girl, everything is pink. The whole thing. I don't even know where to start. The place, you, I don't know where to start. But have you ever noticed that we are conditioned to see the things that we like? Have you ever noticed that? Like it doesn't matter where I would have taken her, she would have picked out something that she would have found something that was pink. Come on, you already know. Like you had never seen the truck that you drive until you started looking for it. Right? There's none in Longview, and then all of a sudden you buy that new black Jeep Gladiator, and then now you notice 50 of them around everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just works that way. I don't know why it works that way, but we are conditioned to see the things that we want to see. Do you know what I tell you what, it's crazy. You ladies blow my mind, okay? Because I promise you, what I can never find, Pastor, I can never find my shirts in the closet. Anybody testify to this? Like, I will go into my closet, and I will look for my shirt, and I will go through every single one, and I will look at that, and I'll say, that shirt is not there. So I will come to Michelle, and I will come to my wife, and I will say, hey, babe, my shirt is not in the closet. She'll say, yes, it's in the closet. Come on, you ever had this discussion? And then I'll be like, it's not there. I looked through them all. And then like 30 seconds later, she walks up and she comes back down the stairs with what? My shirt. Listen, I don't know, but I think it's, I'm not completely confident, but I'm thinking it's witchcraft. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I'm telling you that, right? I just can't see it. But you know what I do see? I do see one thing I can see. I can see. I don't know why I can't find my shirt in a closet, but I can see a deer 300 yards through the thicket, right? You know what I'm saying, guys? You know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't find my shirt, but that camouflaged deer that wiggled its ear for a second, boom, I see it. I can see that thing. We're conditioned to see the things. We were driving down the road, and I'd be like, hey, look, there's an animal. She's like, Michelle's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, you didn't see the coyote just run through the woods right there? Right? We see the things that we're designed to see. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Have you ever asked yourself, what does God see? Have you ever asked that? God, give me your eyes. God, give us eyes to see. What does God see? The Bible says in Job 34:21, it actually answers, and he says this. His eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. Now, I'm afraid that maybe we read that and said, and we read that and we think, yeah, God's out to catch us. Like, gotcha, I see your steps. But no. God's extremely interested in men. He's extremely interested in people. He wants to see people. He wants us to see people. And so if we're going to pray the prayer of God, give us eyes to see, we need to know that God is extremely interested in people. I know we're interested in the Cowboys. Come on. Nobody is filled with more delusion than a Cowboys fan, and I am one. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is our year again. Again, since 1996. Amen. But we must have eyes to see. It reminds me of the time that my wife, she grew up with glasses all the time. She grew up, and then just several years ago, we went and got the kind of the LASIK surgery. And once she was off the loopy stuff and all that, took her naps and eyes were recovered, I remember she was like, she looked at the roof and she goes, shingles have lines, right? Because she could see, but she couldn't see clearly. You see, sometimes the issue is that we see people, but we don't see them clearly. There was this moment in Mark 8, 22 through 25, where Jesus has this, watch this. He has this moment with this man when he came to Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man. And they begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, come on, y'all, let's have a healing line. Come on, y'all. I've never spat on somebody's eyes, but today could be the day. Amen. And he put his hands on him. And now watch this. And he asked this man if he saw anything. And the man looked up and he said, I see men. I want you to think about this. Of everything he could have seen, what did he say? I see men, but they're like trees walking. So the first thing, I love it, because the first thing that when God healed his eyes, he saw people. And sometimes we need God to heal our eyes so that we see people. The greatest miracle to me was not just the fact that God opened his eyes, but what he saw first. But then watch this. Then he put his, because he's right now, he's seeing them, but they're unclear. Come on, I think this is where a lot of us land. We see people, but we don't see them real clear yet. We know the roof has shingles, but I can't see the lines. We know the tree is there, but I can't see the leaves. And he said this, it says that he put his hands on him again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. I wonder if we could ask God to heal our eyes, to see people clearly. C.S. Lewis says this. He said this. He says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. I want you to think about that. That person sitting next to you, that person to the right of you today when you go to the buffet, come on, somebody. That person that is taking your order is the holiest object presented to your senses. And I wonder if we can begin to see people like that. I wonder if we'd begin to see that person as, like, next to Jesus, the sacrament himself. I wonder if we could see people as holy and the closest to the image of God that we'll see on earth. So the first thing is this: God, give us your eyes. Number two, Jesus said that, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Because how many of y'all know it's not enough to just see them? We must have the heart. Guys, I know, I want you to walk out of here with a burden. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been moved? See, sometimes it's not good enough to just feel it. It's not good enough to notice. But it's got to be enough inside of us that we are moved with compassion enough to risk rejection. Come on, are you moved with compassion enough to risk missing it? Are you moved with compassion enough to risk the fact that maybe this person won't accept the Jesus I'm presenting? Can you be moved enough to get beyond that? Because what I have found out is that the fear of man is what keeps you from moving. Most of us, we feel it. Most of us, we know we should. And we have that time where it's like the Spirit of God saying, share the gospel. But most of the time, we allow the fear of man to keep us from presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You cannot hold the fear of God and fear of man in the same hand. Amen. I love you. Jesus said this. He said, don't fear the man who can kill you, but he said, fear him who is able to throw body and soul into hell. Fear him, right? Like there's got to be something that we live with the knowledge that our God, come on, that our job is to please him. Amen? You know, there's been times like I'll tell you two stories together because we like to share our wins, and I like to share wins with you because it's so much fun, right? Because we literally started our church by me, like literally I woke up one day on a Thursday morning and I heard the Holy Spirit say, go to New Braunfels. I literally heard him, Pastor. I heard him say, and I was like, and then I argued with him. I don't want to go to New Braunfels today. You know what I'm saying? It was a Thursday. I was supposed to be in the office, but I literally heard the Holy Spirit, go to New Braunfels. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go to New Braunfels, I guess. The only place that I knew there was this coffee shop. So I sat down at this coffee shop, and it was like the only place that was available to sit was this community table. And so I sat at this community table, and then it's about 10 minutes later, a guy sits across from me right over here. And long story short, I get in a conversation with him. He's wearing a cross necklace. Come on, we just find ways to engage conversation. Like, if you're wearing a cross necklace, you better bet I'm asking you about it. Like, that. What does that mean to you? Come on, somebody, just ask them. Who cares if they reject you? And next, right? If you're anybody in sales in this place, you will never be good at sales if you are scared of a no. Come on, anybody single in this place, you will not get the pretty girl if you are scared of a no. Shoot your shot, baby. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I got three kids because I shot my shot. Amen. All right. I love you. All right. So I just shot my shot with this guy. And long story short is, man, the next day he texts me. The next week I ended up at his apartment. Man, he's confessing sin. And it's just an amazing thing. And that's truly like our church didn't start because we just opened doors. And we were like, hey, we're going to have service at 10 o'clock. Come join us. Now, we have literally been sitting at tables and houses for years now, discipling and spending time with people. And it's amazing because that's truly where our church started. But I remember a few months later, I'm sitting at that exact same place, and I see another guy, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, go share the gospel with him. And so I walked up to him, and I shared the gospel with him, and guess what he did? Nah. You know what I'm saying? He was not having it. He was like, no, thank you. And he turned back to his work. You know what I'm saying? And I love it because guess what, guys? You're going to get shut down sometimes. Nobody, I'm going to tell you right now, that nobody that shares the gospel has a high percentage rate of winning. Nobody. If you do, come talk to me. Please teach me. Okay? I remember when I was in sales, I remember I was like business-to-business sales, and I would sell coffee setups to institutions and stuff. And I figured out, Pastor, I figured out that if I knocked on 20 doors, that on average I would get a sale. So guess what I did? I started just working that. 20 doors, and almost every time without fail, like I would get a sale. 1 out of 20, right? That's not a good success rate if you don't know. I don't know if you know math very well. That's like 5%. And I would bet that sharing the gospel is even less, but we got to do it anyway. Come on, if you are, I'm just trying to set this up realistically for you. You might have to get through 100 no's to get to one yes. Come on, you might have to invite 20 people to church before somebody actually shows up. You might have to give your number out 80 times before somebody goes. But guess what? I'm going to tell you right now that when you get that yes, there is nothing like it. The Bible says heaven rejoices. Come on, the heaven is throwing a party that they said yes. And all of a sudden it gives you juice. It gets you all juiced up. Listen, y'all, I was born again in kind of some fire, right? Like I was born again in fire. And one of the things that I determined was like, I was like, I'm going to share the gospel with everybody that I possibly can. So when I was 17 years old, y'all, I started sharing the gospel with everybody, and every single person in my school heard the gospel. I was the guy that I would go knock doors by myself. You should go two by two, but I couldn't find anybody else to go with me. So I was like, bet, I'm going to go by myself. And I would knock doors. Y'all, I remember one time there was a drug dealer that I knew that this was the biggest drug dealer in our entire town of 15,000. Amen. Come on. I don't even know we had a drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm going to go get him. So I knocked on his door, and I'm 17 years old, right? I'm just 150 pounds soaking wet, right? Amen. And I remember because, man, I'm probably unwise, but whatever. I knocked on his door, boom, boom. He's like, I'm not having it. And he went to shut his door. And you know what I did just without even thinking? You know how you think after, you know, kind of like ready, fire, aim, right? He went to shut his door, and I put my foot in the door. And I was like, I'm going to share the gospel with you, right? I don't know if he got saved. He didn't get saved in that moment. I'm sharing all this because I would go to Walmart and you'd be in aisle five trying to buy your bread. And I'm over there talking about the bread of life, you know, like this is what we do. But what was crazy, I'm going to tell you right now, I never led a single person to Jesus. Not a one. Until I got to college. And finally, one day, a guy said yes, and I was like, whoa! People say yes? And you know what's crazy? That day, it was like God was like, I'm gonna bless you. So, because two people said yes in the same day, and I was like, Jesus, it's a miracle, it's revival, y'all. Listen, you're gonna get shot down a lot. But we cannot stop. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's his desire. It's his will. And it's our job. Listen, we can't make people come to Jesus. But we can give them the opportunity. And we have to present the opportunity. We have to present it over and over and over and over again. And this is the last thing I want to say. So, God, give us your eyes. God, give us your eyes. Like, give us your heart. And then this last one is this last little part. God, I give myself to you. Because he said this, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then if you keep reading, because one of the most dangerous things, I'm so grateful because it helps us to reference, but one of the most dangerous things that happened with the word of God is when it was divided up by chapter and verse, because the thing was written as a letter. And so if you keep reading, if you just don't stop, you get to chapter 10, and all of a sudden you see that Jesus is commissioning his disciples and he's sending them out. So he's literally saying, pray, oh, by the way, you're going. Pray, and you're going, right? So he needs us to bring our yes. And one of the things I need you to understand is that we bring our yes, but he brings the power. And I can't help but wonder if less than 1% of Christians ever personally lead somebody to Jesus. I can't help but wonder this question, and I want us to ask this very personally, is this right here. If every Christian were just like you, if you were the model Christian, it's you, okay? Just asking this question, hypothetically, would anyone come to Jesus? If you were the model Christian, and you were the one that we were all modeling ourselves after, would people come to Jesus? I know that's a big question, but I want you to feel the weight of it. Because each one of us have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us, not a single person, will get out of it. So there's three things I want you to do. What are you going to do? The first one is this right here. Jesus said to pray. So maybe Pastor Marty will tell you to shut it off next week. But I would love for you to set an alarm for 9:38 to begin praying for laborers. Matthew 9:38 says to pray for laborers. Maybe you can work out, I think you can customize it so it won't be going off right in the middle of his message. Or maybe it's a good thing, you'll stop and pray. I don't know. But I want you to set an alarm for 9:30. Maybe you should set it for 9:38 p.m. That'll work. Come on, somebody. Somebody's like, I'll be in bed by 2 hours. But I want you to set an alarm. Why? Because I want to create a consciousness in you to pray for laborers every single day. And I want you to pray three things. God, send them. God, help us raise them up. And then God, I'll go. Okay? I want you to pray for laborers. Number one, set an alarm. 9:38. And number two, I think most of us around here will understand this, but we call it, Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so we call it time on the water. If you're going to catch fish, what do you got to do? The first thing you got to do is you got to get on the water. Come on, this is going to sound ridiculous, but it would do me no good to get out my fishing pole here in the parking lot after service. Ain't no fish in the parking lot. I got to get on the water. Okay, so I would encourage you, intentionally get on the water. Go out. Some of y'all know this, man. Y'all know I love fishing, y'all. Come on. That 4:30 alarm goes off. I hate 4:30 unless I'm about to put a fishing pole in my hand. And then it's like, bet, this is on. I'm excited to be here. Listen, intentionally get on the water. What do I mean by that? Well, are you going to go out to eat today? Probably so. Most of us, a high percentage, yes. Amen. Okay, that's time on the water. Begin to see time on the water. Begin to see it. You're out and about, right? Are you going to go grocery shopping this week? Most likely, yes. Amen. Praise God. Spend some time on the water. Are you going to be out and are you going to go to work this week? Hopefully, most of us, yes. Amen. Guess what that is? If you'll take Jesus with you, that's time on the water. And then the third one is this. This is so simple. It's so simple. I know it is, but I think you'll get it, okay? Doesn't matter if you're on the water if you don't ever make a cast. So what do I want you to do? I want you to pray. I want you to intentionally get on the water, and then I want you to actually make a cast. Because you can't catch anything just sitting in the boat. Amen? Doesn't matter if you get on the water if you don't go cast. And I just think that God's up to something. I do. I just think that he's up to something. And I see what God is doing here at Pathway. And I'm like, what could happen if every single one of us actually took the Great Commission seriously? What would happen? I'm going to tell you, I know what would happen. You'd be at 5 or 6 services. Amen. Pastor Marty's like, oh my gosh. Right? I know what would happen because we will win if we take this seriously. And I just want to leave you with one last thought is this. Listen, kind of the vision of our church is this. I don't know if worship team's coming. I think the prayer team, right, Pastor? Prayer team, amen. But here in just a second, vision of our church is this, is that we want to see every person stand before Jesus and hear well done, good and faithful servant. Right now, we've been meeting once a month, and then we've been meeting with our team every Sunday. That was a great idea from Pastor Marty. It's like, thank you. Amazing. It's been beautiful, by the way. But one of the things that we leave every single time we come together, our small groups, our church services, whatever, anytime that we come together, we always end with this thought. I want you to leave out of here with the idea that I am living for well done, good and faithful servant. I can't mathematically tell you, compared to eternity, I literally cannot mathematically tell you how small your time on earth is. It's impossible. And yet so many of us are, listen, we are living just for our 70 or 80 years, giving no thought to eternity, giving very little thought to how will this be on the other side. And each one of us, we will have a moment where we will stand before Jesus. It's called the Bema seat of Christ, the seat of Christ. That word just essentially just means elevated and central. There's going to come a moment, listen, where Jesus will be in the very center and he will be elevated and we will stand before him and we will give an account. Listen, we will give an account for the things that we have done. Every one of us, you and I, we will give an account for it. And I can't imagine standing before Jesus and him asking me, what did you do with go and make disciples? And for me not to have an answer. Because there's two things that you will know, okay, when we're seated, when we stand before Jesus. There's two things that we will know. We will absolutely know that he is good. Another thing that you will absolutely know is that he is right. There will be an overwhelming sense that whatever his verdict is absolutely right. And I want us to leave out of here with that reality, that mentality of, am I living for that? Because if we live to stand before Jesus, that'll solve a lot of our problems. I believe this. I do believe this. I believe there is not a problem that discipleship won't answer. And if we'll live for that, listen, stand on your feet for me real quick. And I want to pray. I want to pray together. If you're in this place, listen, heads bowed, eyes closed for just a second. If you're in this place today and you say, Cody, I've not been living for eternity, but I want to. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've been coming to Pathway for a long time, but you've never really made Jesus Lord, or you've not really been living for the idea of eternity. And you say, Cody, today I want to make that decision today. I just on the count of three, would you just raise your hand? I know I'm in the 9 a.m. and I know who I'm talking to. But so many times it's easy just to forget about the reality that we will stand before Jesus. And you say, hey, Cody, I need to live like I'm going to stand before Jesus. On the count of three, would you just raise your hand? One, two, three. Come on, I see it. I see you. I see men in the back. Come on, I see lady. Oh, man, I love it. I see. Come on, hands. Come on, just be bold real quick. This is between you and Jesus. This is between you and Jesus. Come on, that's amazing. I see y'all. I see y'all. This is the greatest decision you'll make, not because you're going to make heaven, but because you're going to allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And you're going to live with this mentality. Amen. Listen, if you raise your hand, would you throw that up again one more time for me? I just want to see it one more time. Come on, I see it. I see you. I see you. Maybe I can have the leaders or the elders kind of look around. Come on, just see them. See the hands up. All right. I'm going to pray for you. And then leaders, elders, if you want to go find them, and then I'm going to be done. Father, God bless my friends. Lord, we know that one day, someday soon, we will stand before you. And what a day that can be. What a day that can be, Lord, when we see you and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You did good. That's going to be an amazing day, Father. And I just pray that every one of my friends in here, that we would live with that in mind. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, pray for my friends who raised their hand, Lord, today. They're saying, Lord, be Lord. They're saying, be the Lord of my life. Lord, help them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Marty here from Pathway Church, and I just want to say thank you for joining us, and I want to encourage you to get connected and stay connected. And there's several ways you can do that. Number one, you can download the Pathway app, and we are all the time offering resources and information on that app for you. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you do, make sure you click the bell so that you never miss any life-giving and life-changing content as we add it to the channel. And then also make sure you follow us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. Look, our hope and heart for you is that you walk in the purpose for which God made and created and redeemed you for. We love to connect people to purpose. We thank you for giving us this opportunity. And if you're ever in Longview or you are in Longview, I'd love to invite you to join us in person each weekend. Listen, I pray God's best for your life. I believe if you follow Jesus, your best is ahead.